KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:01, it's cloudy, 11 degrees above zero in Atlantic. We look for skies to become mostly sunny by this afternoon, a high around 22. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The DOT still shows most of the roads in the KJAN listening area are partially to mostly covered with snow and a little bit of a coating of ice as well, so do give yourself extra travel time this morning. Slow down and make sure there's plenty of space between you and the vehicle in front of you. In the news, the Fed Reserve says the value of agricultural land dropped a percentage point in the last quarter of 2013 and a total of 2% for the year. The drop suggests the surge in farmland prices over the past few years may be coming to an end, depressed by lower commodity prices that have reduced farmer income. Iowa State economics professor Chad Hart said that we'll likely see lower farm values tied to those lower farm incomes that we're going to experience in the next year to year and a half. An Iowa State University survey suggested that land values might have peaked in some parts of the state last year, with prices dropping in northwest Iowa. News time is 8:02.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
The Cass County Corn Growers and Cass County Extension Office are hosting an informational meeting in conjunction with representatives of the Iowa Department of Transportation. Javen Smith, president of the Cass County Corn Growers, says they welcome area farmers and interested people to hear updates on rules and regulations specifically for agricultural vehicles and equipment. The meeting will take place on February 24th from 10 a.m. until noon at the Cass County Community Center here in Atlantic, with donuts and coffee served. Smith says a DOT transportation officer will speak, and they hope that all people who are interested will come and learn about the important vehicle issues before the spring planting rush begins. The public is welcome to attend the event. Again, that's sponsored by the Cass County Corn Growers, the Iowa Corn Growers Association, and ISU Extension and Outreach in Cass County. No pre-registration is required. Officials with HMU, Harlan Municipal Utilities, discussed at length Thursday the next step to find a new chief executive officer. The HMU Board of Trustees talked about several options. Chairman David Tyrell said that one search option is to use an executive recruiting organization or firm.
This has been brought to my attention by a number of people, so I contacted the Mykoff, Fry & Prowse group, and they sent us two proposals. And everyone on the board has seen those by email. The idea here is that they're a professional search team that practices almost exclusively in the utilities area. They have a large group of contacts and a large list of people available. The positives are they can move very quickly. They have a lot of people pre-screened. They have expertise in this field. However, the negative, of course, is that they're not inexpensive. There is definitely some cost involved.
Tyrell said the second option would be to use the employees at HMU for an internal process.
The second suggestion was to form an internal search team and use ads on a number of websites and in various publications such as the Iowa Association of Municipal Utilities and the American Public Power Association websites and various state organizations similar to IAMU and surrounding states.
Board member Terry Aronson said that he was for hiring an external search group because they would ask the right questions and hire the right person. But board member Michael Jones disagreed.
My personal take is the second option would be a better option for ratepayers' money. And I do not mean this in a derogatory manner towards you at all, Daryl. But this is the same firm that contacted Daryl, was already paid by Waverly several thousand dollars to contact Daryl, and then we're going to turn around and give them several thousand dollars to replace an employee that they took from HMU. So I have a hard time not at least putting faith in the department heads and the people at HMU that Tom put in place when he was gone, because it was health issues. Tom was gone, was it 6 or 8 weeks? And I think he put the right people in place to do things here. I would like 2 board members to meet with the department heads, and that would be my idea. I just think I have a hard time wanting to write a check to somebody who put us in this position in the first place.
In his rebuttal, Tyrell said that it was, in fact, current CEO Darrell Wenzel who is leaving that put HMU in position to look for a new CEO, not the hiring firm. In the end, it was Aronson who made the motion.
So I will make a motion that we create a committee consisting of 2 board members and the management team to investigate the options.
Okay. I'll second that.
The board approved the motion and will discuss the issue at their next board meeting on Thursday, February 27th. Elsewhere in the news, Shenandoah native Monty Shaw, executive director of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, officially threw his hat into the ring in the campaign for Iowa's 3rd congressional district, a seat being vacated by Republican Representative Tom Latham, who announced in December that he would not be running for re-election. Shaw made his announcement during stops Thursday in Red Oak, Corning, Glenwood, Adel, Perry, and Atlantic. While in Atlantic, Shaw said his focus is winning the June 3rd primary by setting himself apart from the other Republican candidates by proving he's the best person to advocate for Iowans.
I spent the last 20 years working on behalf of Iowans, advocating for conservative candidates or causes or working on issues like protecting seniors, or currently for the last several years working on renewable fuels issues that have been very important to Iowa's future.
Shaw says one of the biggest advocacy skills he has in knowing how to negotiate over the fine points, but knowing when to stand and fight on principle.
And that's something I'm going to do. I'm going to stand firm. We've got to get the spending under control. We've got to get rid of job-killing regulations like Obamacare. You know, we need growth, because growth equals jobs. Jobs equals higher tax revenue. That's the right way to get out of this budget deficit instead of handing it off to my 2 children and their generation.
He says working together with other like-minded leaders in Washington will help to overcome the gridlock displayed over the past couple of years, especially with regard to the recently passed farm bill, which Shaw didn't have much good to say about.
The current farm bill, one of the few things you can say good about it is that it was better than going back to current law, which would have been a disaster not just for our farmers but for taxpayers. That current, the permanent law dating back to the 40s would have just been horrible. But it did not reform enough. You know, we got rid of direct payments. That was a step in the right direction. I thought we could have gone a lot further to get rid of countercyclical payments. But right in the middle of the budget of the farm bill negotiations, the White House, President Obama, ripped the rug out from underneath the renewable fuel standard. And what that told farmers was, wait a minute, we're going to take the market that you want to farm for, and we're going to kill it. So then, of course, they said, hey, we need to have more of a safety net. I think it was a huge missed opportunity, but that farm bill was just a start. We can continue to pursue those reforms.
Shaw says creating an environment for robust job creation will be his number one priority if he's elected to Congress. He says that starts with less restrictions on the ag industry.
And that means having the government stop whiplashing them with embargoes or new EPA restrictions that make no sense, or even undermining the renewable fuel standard.
He says passing silly regulations like Obamacare, quote-unquote, has caused many business owners, small business owners, and those looking to expand to hold off on investing in expansion and hiring more workers because of the uncertainty and how much the Affordable Care Act will cost them.
That uncertainty is killing us. We need to create certainty, and we need to get the tax code under control. And if we do that, then Americans have proven time and time again, if government will get off their back, they will grow this economy.
Taking a look at world headlines, a number of flight cancellations because of winter weather in the south and northeast has dropped to about 1,100 today from more than 6,500 yesterday. But some 550,000 homes and businesses are still without electricity. Most of them are in South Carolina and Georgia, and many schools are closed in Virginia and in 7 northeastern states. President Obama heads to the warmer part of the country today to focus on California's worst drought in more than 100 years. The president will be in the Fresno area in the San Joaquin Valley, and he'll announce more than $160 million in federal financial aid, including money in the farm bill for programs that cover the loss of livestock. And overseas, a major volcanic eruption on Indonesia's Java Island has killed at least 3 people as authorities evacuate more than 100,000 people and close 7 airports. Mount Kelud erupted earlier today, spewing ash and debris some 12 miles into the air. One farmer who lives 3 miles from the volcano's crater said the eruption sounded like thousands of bombs exploding. News time is 8:11.
Your home most of the time, just watching television. And you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In the funeral announcements, Ruby Kinzer, age 91 of Griswold, died Sunday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Ruby Kinzer will be today at 10 o'clock at the Faith Lutheran Church in Griswold. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Leona Hansen, age 71 of Manning, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Leona Hansen will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Keith Kirkman, Sr., age 88 of Messina, died Monday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Keith Kirkman, Sr. will be today at 10:30 at St. Peter's United Church of Christ in rural Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Zelma Pangburn, age 91 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Zelma Pangburn will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Sunny Hill Cemetery in Adair. Auchenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Thelma Karstens, age 98 of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Thelma Karstens will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Phyllis Hansen, age 93 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Phyllis Hansen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Alan Lamock, age 77 of Manning, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Alan Lamock will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Ellen Rosina Opperly, age 99 of Griswold, died Tuesday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Ellen Opperly will be on Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Sienna Sam Mann, age 71 of Maquoketa, a 1960 graduate of the Atlantic High School, died Sunday in Bellevue, Iowa. Friends and family of Sienna Sam Mann may gather for one last party in remembrance of her from 1 until 3 p.m. on Saturday at the Carson Celebration of Life Center in Maquoketa. Eunice Osman, age 89 of Panama, died Tuesday. A massive Christian burial service for Eunice Osman will be on Monday at 10:30 at St. Mary's of the Assumption Church in Panama. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Helen Landon, age 81 of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Helen Landon will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. Rosalie Clark, age 88 of Macedonia, died Tuesday in Omaha. Funeral services for Rosalie Clark will be Monday at 1 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Macedonia. Los Hills Funeral Home in Carson has arrangements. G. Wayne Olson, age 84 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for G. Wayne Olson will be Tuesday at 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Margaret McNaught Rhodes, age 93, formerly of Guthrie Center, died Monday in Colorado. Graveside services for Margaret McNaught Rhodes will be on Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Roy Newberg, age 81 of Atlantic, died Thursday at CCMH. Funeral services for Roy Newberg are pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. And Stephen Schaff, age 54 of Messina, died Thursday in Omaha. Services for Stephen Schaff are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.